throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day. We ask, Father, that your will be done in our lives and that you would bless each and every one of your servants, all of those that have come out to give glory to your name and to sing praises to you, Father, and to give offerings to you. The calves of our lips, Father, we love you and we thank you for all you've done for us, for our life, health, and peace. We thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, who gave his life and shed his blood to cleanse all our sin. We know that we have an advocate with you, Father, because Yahshua has died for each and every one of us. Help us, Father, to be faithful and not to sin against you. But if we fall, if we do sin, we have Yahshua's shed blood to cleanse our sin. So, Father, as we seek to hear from you this day, we ask that your word would have free course in us, that you would bless us, that you would touch our hearts and cause each one of us, Father, to draw closer to you as we seek to be closer, as we seek to be in your kingdom, soon coming upon this earth. Prepare, Father, prepare your people in these last days. In Yahshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. You may all be seated at this time. This message is entitled, Go Up to Zion. It seems like most of us are swimming upstream like salmon. You know, they do something which is a great feat. It's almost defying nature. Most people will go with the flow. They'll go downstream. They'll just go with the, you know, the crowd, the throng, as they would say. But Yahweh's people are different. It's like swimming upstream. Do you ever feel like you're swimming upstream in your life? Because you're trying to do things that are different than everybody else around you. The people of Yahweh are going in a different direction, brethren, than the people of the world. You have to go up to Zion from whatever direction you travel. And that's important for you to understand. Whether you're coming from the west, whether you're coming from the east, from the north, or the south, you have to go up to Zion. When you looked up and saw the temple, it was an awesome sight. So whatever direction, when you looked up and you saw that gold gleaming of the temple of Zion, that was built for the name of Yahweh. It was an awesome sight. It caused the worshipers to get excited because they knew they were getting close to worshiping Almighty Yahweh, to being able to go into his temple and to participate in the worship of Almighty Yahweh. Turn with me to Psalm 122. It was mentioned already. But Psalm 122 is a song of ascents. And the reason it's called a song of ascents, because like I said, you had to go up to Zion. In every direction, you had to go up to Zion. I was glad in verse 1 when they said to me, let us go to the house of Yahweh. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem that is built as a city that has come back together, where the tribes go up, even the tribes of Yah, for an ordinance for Israel to give thanks to the name of Yahweh. For they are set thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love you. Peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of Yahweh, our Elohim, I will seek your good. Psalm 42. We're going to start in verse 1, Psalm 42. As the hart pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after you, O Elohim. My soul thirsts for Elohim, for the living El. Now see, this is the difference between Israel and the nation. Israel had the living El, the true mighty one. All the nations were worshiping idols. He proved that in Egypt when he went in and took Israel out of bondage and brought them out of the worship of those pagan mighty ones. The Apis bull, the scarab. They worshiped insects. They worshiped all kinds of things. Okay? What did Yahshua tell the woman in John chapter 4? You worship what you know not. We know who we worship. We worship the living El. Yahweh is real. But the mighty ones of the nations are just idols. They're pretenders. My soul thirsts for Elohim, for the living El. When shall I come and appear before Elohim? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your Elohim? These things I remember and pour out my soul within me, how I went with the throng and led them to the house of Elohim with the joy, with the voice of joy and praise, a multitude keeping the feast. So we are commanded to go keep the feast. And when the temple was in Jerusalem, that was the place where we had to go. Three times in the year, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, which we're going to be observing in 2 weeks, okay? We have a couple more weeks to get there. And then the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. Shavuot is the Feast of Oaths, which we're going to be keeping very shortly. But when we go to keep the feast, we get excited. When the Feast of Tabernacles come around, people get excited because they know that they're going to worship Yahweh. Now, we do it every Sabbath. But I'm telling you, when we keep the feast, it's heightened. Everything is heightened. Go up to Zion is the title of this message. Exodus chapter 24. And we'll start in verse 1 of Exodus 24. This is Yahweh speaking, and he said to Moses, come up to Yahweh, you and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 elders of Israel and worship afar off. So you had to go up to worship Yahweh. They went up to the mountain of Yahweh. And Moses alone shall come near to Yahweh, but they shall not come near, neither shall the people go up with them. And Moses came and told the people all the words of Yahweh and all the ordinances. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which Yahweh has spoken we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of Yahweh and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the mount and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, it says here that all the people said, all the words which Yahweh has spoken, we will do. When you enter into that covenant, when you enter into that vow and you receive baptism, you are affirming that all the words in here, I'm going to do. The same thing that Israel committed to. But guess what? They didn't do it. They lied. They went back to worshiping the pagan mighty one, the idols of the nation, because they could not stand the fire of Yahweh. They all died, and Yahweh didn't destroy them all at one time. They died over the 40 years in the wilderness. Every one of them that came out over the age of 20, all of the adults, died in the wilderness except for Joshua and Caleb. Just those two were the only ones that went into the promised land. I'm telling you again, we have a similar situation going on now. There are going to be a few who are left alive who will rise to meet Joshua and Aaron. But the rest are going to die. Okay? And Yahweh's preparing the people. He's preparing each one of us. The only ones who's going into the kingdom are going to be those kids under the age of accountability, the seed of the blessed. And they're going to be some from the nations. This is why the 144,000 are so important. They have to know this because they're going to be the ones, kings and priests, during that thousand-year millennium, teaching the young people, teaching them the law of Yahweh, teaching them the commandments. Okay? Think about it. Everything happens for a reason. We know this, right? Let's continue and Exodus chapter 24. In verse 5 it says, "And he sent young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to Yahweh. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins." And half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Now, the blood of bulls and goats can't save you. The blood of the precious lamb of Yahweh, Yahshua, the Messiah, is the only blood we need to be there, to be saved, to be in that kingdom, which is soon coming. In verse 7, "And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, 'All that Yahweh has spoken, we will do and be obedient.'" Now, I can read you the Ten Commandments right now, just the basic ten. And most of the people, even in this room to this day, aren't keeping it. I'm not just talking about the Sabbath. Because the Sabbath incorporates the feast days as well. These have to be written on your heart, brethren. They can't be just something that we read. See, the people said, "All these words of Yahweh we will do." But think about it. It's important for us to keep the Sabbath and to keep it holy. And we have to learn that. That's one of the things that we do during the feast days. We teach these things. We show the interest. The specifics of all the commandments to show that you can do this, you can keep these. That's why you get the Holy Spirit when you're baptized, because the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. So your understanding is opened, and then you have that love for your brother, your neighbor, even your enemy. You're able to overcome things that you were not able to do before. When you think about it, the heart that you have, Yahweh gave you that heart for a reason. Some people have a very, very humble and kind heart. Some not so. Like Pharaoh, he had a hard heart. And Yahweh even hardened it further until he broke him down and took his firstborn. Then Pharaoh, after he, you know, he let Israel go, then he wanted to again destroy him, go after him. "What is it that I've done?" You understand? Here, it says in verse 8, and Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which Yahweh has made with you concerning all these words. So when you're baptized and you receive, you accept that blood, like we just took Passover not long ago, right? 5 weeks back. We participated in taking the body and blood of Yahshua. We renewed the covenant for another year. It's important that we understand that that solidifies Yahweh's people for another year of covering. If something happens, just like we had our brother second in command in Kenya pass away, Elder Moses, 37 years old. He has a hope of the resurrection to be in the kingdom of Yahweh because he entered into that covenant with Almighty Yahweh. He accepted the body and blood of Yahshua the Messiah. And this is why it's so important for us to be in that place, to have that baptism. See? That's very important. Continue on in verse 9. Then Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu went up, and the 70 elders of Israel. And they saw the Elohim of Israel. They went up to have lunch with Yahweh. Okay? And there was under the feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the very heaven for clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand, and they beheld Elohim and ate and drank. They had lunch with Yahweh. Now this is the Yahweh of the Old Testament. This is the one that came as Yahshua the Messiah. No man has seen the Father, okay? But only the Son has revealed us, revealed Yahweh to us. And Yahweh said to Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. Again, he's going up. Remember, this is entitled, Go Up to Zion. But we're going up to Yahweh. And Yahweh said to Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. And I will give you the tables of stone and the law and the commandment which I have written that you may teach them. He tells the purpose right there. What's the purpose of those laws? So that you may teach them. And Moses rose up and Yahshua his minister. And Moses went up into the Mount of Elohim. And he said to the elders, wait here for us until we come again to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur were with you. Whoever has a cause, let him come near to them. And Moses went up into the mount, and the cloud covered the mount. And the glory of Yahweh remained upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called to Moses out of the middle of the cloud. And the appearance of the glory of Yahweh was like a devouring fire on top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses entered into the middle of the cloud and went up into the mount. And Moses was in that mount 40 days and 40 nights. A long time. But there was a purpose for that. He communed with Yahweh to gain the knowledge to share with his people. First 5 books written by Moses. Exodus chapter 23, verse 14. Right across the page if you have a sacred scripture. But it's Exodus 23:14. We'll read down to 17. It says, three times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. The feast of unleavened bread shall you keep. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, as I commanded you, at the time appointed in the month Abib. For in it you came out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. We don't pass a plate when we have services. We give our offerings during the feast day, during the high day. That's when we take up offerings. 7 times in a year. It says, and the feast of harvest, and the first fruits of your labor, you shall sow in your field, and the feast of ingathering, which is tabernacles or Sukkoth, at the end of the year, when you gather in your labors out of the field. Three times in the year, all your males shall appear before the sovereign Yahweh. It's a commandment. Now, how many people were actually doing this? Coming before Yahweh during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks, Feast of Tabernacles. Most have not been doing it because they've been taught the worldly holidays. I was speaking to a minister yesterday, actually, and he was very frank when he talked about those pagan holidays. He says, now this guy gets paid to teach this. He's there, but he knows the truth. And the sad thing is, he's trying to bring them out slowly, not like the one I talked about in Texas. They just made the whole church change. They started keeping the Torah. And he said he had some flack, but you know what? He showed them this. He taught them from this, the word. He's saying, you know, we were doing all these things that were not here. They came out of paganism. Yet the word of Yahweh tells us, to keep the feast. And he said we weren't keeping the feast. Now, this man, of course, like I said, he's caught in the middle because they pay a salary. They pay him. And he's actually having some real serious second thoughts about what he's doing. Because he knows what he's doing is wrong. He needs to really teach them the truth and move on from there and allow Yahweh to work with him in the blessing. He was the one that was instrumental in having me come speak to a group. They have a men's prayer breakfast. Matter of fact, they do it every Thursday. And I went twice to teach them the messianic perspective, to teach them about Yahweh and Yahshua. And they were excited, you know. But how many of them actually changed anything? They still went back to their respective churches, and they still doing the same thing, wrote. They're teaching what the council and their committees and, you know, are telling them they need to teach. But as far as the truth is concerned, it's very important that we understand that Yahweh's in control. And if we're going to be in the kingdom, we have to be willing to teach the truth without hesitation or worrying about what someone else thinks. Deuteronomy chapter 16 is the companion passage for what we just read in Exodus. That's Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 16 and 17. It says, three times in a year shall all your males appear before Yahweh your Elohim in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before Yahweh empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of Yahweh, your Elohim, which he has given you. Now, again, we're talking about something that is not practiced in churchianity or Christianity or many of the other entities. What I'm trying to show you here is that this is in your Bible. This is in every Bible that you will read. They haven't cut this out. It's there. You can take a KJV, Jerusalem Bible, or any other Bible. It's there. Read it. Go to a library and just pull 20 Bibles off the shelf. Put them side by side. Or you can do it on the computer. They have that technology where you can put the verses side by side, version by version, and they all say the same thing. It may have a little different language, especially King James with the these and thous, but it's telling you to keep the feast. Not telling you to keep Easter, Christmas, or any other pagan holiday. Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31. We'll start in verse 12. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, you must keep my Sabbaths. It's plural. Not only talking about the weekly Sabbath, it's talking about the high Sabbaths. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you. Therefore, you shall keep the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who desecrates it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work in it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Now, this is the sign between Yahweh and his people. To be sanctified means to be set apart for a holy purpose. He says here in verse 13 at the end, that you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you. I'm the one that's setting you apart. Verse 15, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to Yahweh. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. We have to let people know how serious this is. And people think because of ignorance, I'm good. I don't have to worry about this. Yes, you do. You're not going to be allowed to be a part of the kingdom and say that, you know, I knew about it, but I thought I could do this. I'm going to show you a passage. Let me finish this real quick, and then I'll take you to another passage. It says, therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout your generations for a perpetual covenant. Look up the word perpetual. It's ongoing. It hasn't stopped. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Okay? It didn't stop. It's still going on. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now that passage I want you to look at, this wasn't a part of my sermon, but I got to throw it in there because it's important. Zephaniah. Turn over to Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah was one of the prophets, and Zephaniah means hidden of Yahweh, okay? Yahweh's people are going to be hidden by him during this 3.5-year tribulation that's coming upon the earth. The Christians are talking about going, being raptured away. The Bible doesn't teach that. It's foolishness. But it does show in Zephaniah that he's going to hide his people, those that are faithful. But what I wanted you to see here is that there's three types of people that Yahweh's going to deal and destroy in Zephaniah chapter 1. He says in verse 2, I will utterly consume all things from off the face of the ground, says Yahweh. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heaven and the fishes of the sea, and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the ground, says Yahweh. And I will stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will cut off the remnant of Baal, the Lord, from this place. And the name of the Chemarim with the priests, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and swear to Yahweh and swear by Malcolm or Moloch. Okay? All of that group is group one. Group two, them that are turned back from following Yahweh, those that are backslid. Group number two. And group number three, those that have not sought Yahweh nor inquired after him. So he's dealing with a lot of people. And we know that two-thirds of this world population are going to be destroyed before the kingdom is set up. Two-thirds. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. Starting in verse 1, it says, the word that came to Jeremiah from Yahweh saying, stand in the gate of Yahweh's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of Yahweh, all you of Judah that enter in these gates to worship Yahweh. In this manner, says Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, the mighty one of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust not in lying words, saying, the temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute justice between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other Elohim. Now, when it talks about the sojourner and the fatherless and the widow, it's referring to the third tithe. See, in the third and the sixth year, we keep a third tithe. Not only a first and a second, but a third. Because Yahweh is going to bless you that you have this to give. Just like he prepares, as I was talking about the sabbatical year on the prayer line. Okay? People ask, well, in the word it says, well, what shall we eat in the seventh year? And he says, we're talking about the Jubilee, even the eighth year. He's going to provide in the sixth year enough that you are able to get through seventh year, eighth year, and the ninth year is when you plant again. So he blesses you, and that's during the Jubilee. But during the regular sabbatical year, you get, just like he said when he was giving a manna, you go out on Friday or the sixth day, and you gather enough for 2 days. That's the only time you could do it. Any other time, you can only get enough for yourself. They went back out. The manna was gone, okay? But on Friday, they could get enough for 2 days. They went out on Sabbath looking for it. There was no manna. And he says, how long is it going to take for you people to trust me, to follow me? He gave instruction and told them what to do, and even today, we have to do the same thing. He tells us, don't worry about it. Don't go out on the Sabbath. Don't work. He's going to provide for you on Friday enough to get you through the Sabbath as well. We're supposed to work 6 days, and the Sabbath is holy to Yahweh. It's very holy to Yahweh. This is why we're talking about what we're talking about. When we go up to Zion, when we go up, even on the Sabbath day, it's an opportunity to gain something from Yahweh. He has a blessing in store for you. You didn't come here, what, to go through the motions? No, you have to have something in your heart that says, I'm yearning, I want to be closer to you, Father. And this is the reason that you're here, so that you can receive that blessing that he's prepared for you this day. In Jeremiah, this back there, it says in verse 7, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers from of old, even forevermore. Behold, you that trust in lying words that cannot profit, will you steal? That's a violation of the covenant. Right? You shall not steal. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Murder. That's another one of the commandments. You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. And you shall not lie to one another or swear falsely. And burn incense to Baal. You shall not have any other Elohim before me. See, so if you're worshiping another mighty one, you're violating one of the Ten Commandments. That you, it says, you shall not burn incense to Baal and walk after other Elohim that you have not known, and come and stand before me in this house, talking about the temple in Zion, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, that you have, that you may do all these abominations. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I, even I, have seen it, says Yahweh. John chapter 2. In John chapter 2, we'll start in verse 13. And the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Yahshua went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and changes of money sitting, and he made a scourge of cords and cast all out of the temple, both sheep and oxen, and he poured out the changes' money and overthrew their tables. And to them that sold the doves, he said, take these things from here. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house shall eat me up. The Jews therefore answered and said to him, what sign do you show us, seeing that you do these things? Yahshua answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews therefore said, 46 years was this temple in the building, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he spoke of the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, and his disciples remembered that he spoke this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Yahshua had said. Mark chapter 11. Mark 11, we'll start in verse 1. And John, when he cleansed the temple of the money changers and those that sold and the doves and all of the commodities, was when he started his ministry. And Mark chapter 11 is at the end of his ministry, right before he was put to death. He did the same thing. He had to do it again because they went right back to doing the same thing, which is too often the way we do things. We get in a rut. We forget the things that we're learning, the things that Yahshua has taught us. So in Mark chapter 11, verse 1, it says, and when they drew near unto Jerusalem, to Bethpage and to Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sends two of his disciples and says to them, go your way into the village that is over against you, and straightway as you enter in, you shall find a colt tied, on which no man ever yet sat. Loose him and bring him, and if anyone says to you, why do you do this, say, the teacher has need of him. And straightway he will send him back here. And they went away and found a colt tied at the door outside in the open street. And they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said to them, what are you doing? Loosen the colt. And they said to them that even as Yahshua had said. And they let them go. And they bring the colt to Yahshua and cast on him their garments, and he sat upon him, and many spread their garments upon the way, and other branches which they cut from the fields, and they went before, and they that followed cried, Hosanna! Blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahweh! Blessed is the kingdom that comes, the kingdom of our father David, Hosanna in the highest! One of the things you'll understand is that the kings of Israel didn't ride on steeds. They rode on asses. See? So he was fulfilling prophecy as the king coming into Jerusalem. And verse 11, and he entered into Jerusalem. He went up to Jerusalem, into the temple. And when he had looked all around upon all things, it being now evening, he went out to Bethany and with the 12. And on the next day, when they were come out from Bethany, he hungered. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if perhaps he might find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. And he answered and said to it, no man eat fruit from you to the age. And his disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem, and he entered into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold and them that bought in the temple, and overthrew the table of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold the doves. And he would not permit any man should carry a vessel through the temple. And he taught and said to them, Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples, for all the nations, from Isaiah 56:7. But you have made it a den of robbers. And the chief priests and the scribes heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him. For all the multitude was astonished at his teaching. But they feared him because they knew he was from Yahweh. And he was upsetting their way of life. You know, he was affecting their money. See, because they were selling. They were making money on the temple. But Yahshua was trying to get them purified. He was trying to get them to see things the right way. Turn over to Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4. Remember, this message is go up to Zion. We have to go up. Not only physically when it comes to Jerusalem, but spiritually. We have to get above the peoples of the world and the nation because they're worshiping idols. They don't worship the living El. In verse 1 of Micah chapter 4, it says, but in the latter days, it shall come to pass that the mountain, that word mountain represents government of Yahweh's house, shall be established on the top of the mountain, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow to it. And many nations shall go and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh and to the house of the Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he will judge between many peoples and will decide concerning strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of Yahweh of hosts has spoken it. For all the people shall walk, every one, in the name of his mighty one. And we will walk in the name of Yahweh, our Elohim, forever and ever. In that day, so it's talking about the latter days, a specific time, says Yahweh, will I assemble that which is lame, and I will gather that which is driven away, and that which I have afflicted, and I will make that which was lame a remnant, and that which was cast far off a strong nation, and Yahweh will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on, even forever. So he's telling us it's going to happen in Mount Zion. From now on, even forever, and you, O tower of the flock, the hill of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come. Yes, the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Now why do you cry out aloud? Is there no king in you? Has your counselor perished, that pangs have taken hold of you as a woman in travail? Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shall you go forth out of the city, and shall dwell in the field, and shall come even to Babylon, and there shall you be rescued. And there will Yahweh redeem you from the hand of your enemies. And now many nations are assembled against you that say, let her be defiled, and let our eyes see our desire upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of Yahweh, neither understand they his counsel, for he has gathered them as sheaves to the threshing floor. He's gathered them for destruction. They think they're going to destroy Israel, but Yahweh's going to destroy them. The valley of Jehoshaphat. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make your horn of iron, and I will make your hoofs bronze, and you shall beat in pieces many peoples, and I will devote their gain to Yahweh and their substance to the sovereign of the whole earth. Isaiah chapter 2, companion scripture. Starting in verse 1, it says, the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of Yahweh's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. It doesn't say some nations. It says all nations. And many people shall go and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the Elohim of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem, and he will judge between the nations and will decide concerning many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. They're about to have war in Jerusalem. They're about to have war in the Holy Land. They're about to have war in the Middle East. But this is going to come to pass. The law of Yahweh is perfect. Yahweh does not lie. He's promised his people salvation. He's promised the redeemed of Yahweh that they would enter in and have Jerusalem, a holy city to them. Zechariah chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 14. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 14. It says, for thus says Yahweh of hosts, as I thought to do evil to you, when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says Yahweh of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. These are the things that you shall do. Speak you every man the truth with his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates, and let none of you devise evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath, for all these things that I hate, says Yahweh. And the word of Yahweh of hosts came to me, saying, in this manner, says Yahweh of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts, therefore love, truth, and peace. In this manner, says Yahweh of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come peoples and inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to entreat the favor of Yahweh and to seek Yahweh of hosts, I will go also. Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek Yahweh of hosts in Jerusalem. The city of peace, Yerushalayim, and to entreat the favor of Yahweh. And that's what we want. We want Yahweh's favor on our lives, brethren. We want his blessings daily. But for us to receive those, we have to be willing and obedient. We have to keep the covenant. In this manner, in verse 23, says Yahweh of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all the languages of the nation. They shall take hold of the skirt of him that is Yahudim, a worshiper of Yahweh. It says a Jew here. A lot of people think that's speaking of the Jewish people. It's talking about the worshipers of Yahweh. These 10 men represent the 10 tribes of Israel that went into idolatry. They went into captivity, not to be recovered. They're being recovered these days. They're coming back to Yahweh. They've lost sight of who they were because they stopped keeping the Sabbath. That was a sign. They lost that. They no longer kept it, so therefore they lost their identity. But they're going to take hold of the skirt of him that is a worshiper of Yahweh, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that Elohim is with you. And truly Yahweh is with his people. For those who go up to Zion in these last days, for those that seek Yahweh to receive a blessing from him, Almighty Yahweh is giving us the understanding and the knowledge to be able to serve him with one consent. Think about it. What does he want? What does he require of you but to do justly and to keep his commandments? May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you that has dedicated your life to serving him in his son, Yahshua the Messiah's holy name. At this time, I'm going to ask Brother Davis to come up and close with a word of prayer.
Almighty Yahweh, we come humbly but boldly before your throne of mercy and grace. We find ourselves again looking for a way to remain with thee, and we ask Almighty Yahweh that you would keep us and allow us to be reminded of praying for Israel and Jerusalem in all ways and all things, even the leadership there. We ask Almighty Yahweh that you would allow the conviction of the Holy Spirit to be upon us in all ways and all things, and allow us to stay in worship of you no matter what's going on around about us, Almighty Yahweh. We ask that you would allow us to do justly and keep your commandments as we, in fact, walk according to your election and purpose. We ask that you would seal this word in our hearts and minds so that we can bring forth fruit unto thy glory. We ask these and all other blessings in your son Yahshua's name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.